Today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, and we finished basically the sugya about how it is that it's possible to give over either b'matana, liba de chachomim, the earlier Mishnah, or even b'loshen Yerusha, liba de Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, where someone was mechalek nechasav al piv. The problem is that the normal way of understanding mechalek nechasav al piv is that a person is on his deathbed and he's giving out his last will and testament, which is lemaisa the way even that today civil law utilizes that last will and testament idea, in which there's nothing else for him to say. But I mean, suppose somebody wants to achieve a will. It's at some point in his life. Maybe he's in his 30s. Does it have to be his last will and testament? Or how about going simply to write out a Lashon of Yerusha according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? I mean, obviously a matana, you can give whenever you want to give a matana. But according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, is there a concept of being mechalek dechasav even as a bori? Or does the Torah mean v'haya b'yom asher yanchilu et banav? It's referring dafka to a person who is dying and feels it necessary to give away his property the way he wishes. So that's today's Gemara's question. Boy, Rava, Bivari Hech, how would you go about accomplishing a Yerusha, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, to someone who would be Ro'ui, but he would want to be Mechalek according to his own vision? What would we say? Do we say, Kikom Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka b'shchiv mira, the bar urutiu? Was Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's diuk in the pasuk of Ayah b'yoman chilo et banav, that's clearly talking about a day in which he lays dying and now gives over on that bayom as he is about to be Mauritius' children? Or was that just a typical description? Diberakatuv ba'ovek ilu. But Dilma, afilu b'bori nami. There's nothing innately different about the act of being Maurish as a perfectly healthy person or being Maurish a moment before dying. I mean, legally speaking, it ought to be the same thing. Or perhaps it's a special keach that the Torah gave a person to be able to be Maurish when he's in the act of Horasha. Omele Rav Mishar Shel Rava, my dear friend, I've got the perfect proof. Tashma, take a look at this. The Omele Rabbi Natan, L'Rebbe, Rabbi Natan Abavli, who was a great gadol from Bavel, tined it against Rebbe, who was the redactor of the Mishnah in Eretz Yisrael, that I don't like the way you wrote your Mishnah. Because shenitem b'mishnatchem k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Why would you have written something in the Mishnah that's dafka like a dat yachid, when it certainly is not limited to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? That's not the right thing to do. Where do I see this? It's not. And I see it, Natan Abavli mentions to Rebbe, I see it in a subtle prejudice. It's not that you're saying a din that only works that way, but the way that you phrase it is disturbing. Because you're not coming to address this issue, and yet underneath it you seem to imply that that's the only way to do it. And I'm talking about the din of Benin Dichrin. Now, you'll remember that Benin Dichrin means that when a person marries, and this was a takana the Rabbanan made, in order to make it a reasonable thing for a father to heavily endow a daughter, why would he want to give a dowry to a daughter who is simply going to pass his things on to God knows who? Because she'll marry a guy who's going to have kids from another wife, who knows? Either a second wife, maybe his daughter will die, and then he'll have other children. I mean, you never know what's going to be in life. So I should give away my money to my daughter. I mean, it's great it should go to my daughter, but I mean, it'll end up in a stranger's hand. Because maybe her husband will have 20 children from some other woman, and two children from my daughter, and all the money will be split evenly, which means that 80% of my money is going to go to somebody else's children. Why would I want that? So therefore, people would be very mitzamtzim in giving a dowry to the daughter. You give enough, but you don't give generously. So therefore, in order to encourage generosity, the Rabbana made a takana that it would be part of the given prenuptial arrangements, which we call a ketubah. So it would be part of that arrangement that you need to accept that all children that will come from that particular woman will be the only ones to inherit the money that had been brought in from that woman with her ketubah, as the father had given her. So anything registered in the ketubah is hers, goes only to her children, and despite the fact that this is illegal in terms of the simple Yerusha, Terry gave all of the male children the same rights. If the family inherited, the father inherited, then the inheritance should go to all of the children. Nonetheless, if this man's daughter dies, and 40 years later, her husband dies, it's only her children that are going to be getting that ketuvah. So therefore, the father can say, 100 years from now, my money will still be with my grandchildren and not with stepchildren, as far as I'm concerned, stepchildren. So that's called the Takana of Benin Dichrin. Why is it called Benin Dichrin? Because the formula in the Tnaya Ketuvah, we don't write out a whole Ketuvah. What we do is we just put in a little bit of the Ketuvah document. The whole Ketuvah would run on for many, many pages. So we're Mekatzer, and we have, as a matter of fact, as we learned in Ketuvot, you don't have to write a Ketuvah at all because a Ketuvah is a given. So there's always a default ketuvah, which is called the Tanai Beit Din. The full ketuvah includes all kinds of stuff. Insurance policies, kidnapping policies, health policies, and so on and so forth. It's a massive document. But Lomaisa, a ketuvah ought to include, if you write out the whole thing, the clause of Benin Dichrin, the male children, that you shall have from me, will inherit above and beyond their normal inheritance the properties that you brought in, exclusively the properties that you brought in with your ketuvah. Okay, very nice. Now, will you please, says Natan HaBavli to Rebbe, will you please look carefully at the way you wrote that up, and you will see how prejudiced you are. Because what you wrote in your Mishnah is, lo katavla, and here it's just like agav, I'm pointing this out, lo katavla benin dechrin di avin lech minoy. If you didn't write the following clause, quote, male children that will be yours through me, they will get above and beyond their normal chelik with their brothers all of the money that was in your ketubah. Nonetheless, we couldn't care less whether you write it in the ketubah or you don't write it in the ketubah. Anyway, you'd be chayat. Shetznai Beit Dinu, the Beit Din made the ketubah a default. So anybody wants to change a ketubah with a tnai, a mammon, and so on, that's what has to be done. Otherwise, the prenuptial arrangement goes into effect automatically. Now, did you just hear what you wrote? You wrote the word yartun. Now, legally speaking, the only way that you can write that word is if you hold a Rabbi Yochanan ben Broga, right? Because according to Chachomim, you cannot assign in any legal document the right of Yerusha. You can only assign the right of a gift. And you write in your ketubah. All you needed to do was not use that word, and everything would be fine, because it would work according to anybody. But no, you have to go out and prejudice the Mishnah by writing the word Yartun. And Yartun is ridiculous, because it only works according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broga. V'amar lo Rebbe, so Rebbe said, well, I know, I didn't mean it, that's not the right gear, so the right gear is Yasbun, should be given to them. And that would work out both, a little bit of Rabbanan, and a little bit of Rabbanan, that's fine, it should be given. That's what it should say. After Nassan HaBavli walked out, Rebbe said to himself, "Why am I an idiot? Oh, my Rebbe, yaldut haitab, you know? I just, sometimes everybody acts like a kid. I wasn't thinking so. I got a little nervous. Nosan Abavli, you know. They asked the panai b'natan Abavli. I just said something, get myself off the hook. And boy, he must be looking at me as a real total idiot now. Because he's probably thinking to himself, oh, man. Elo de kaimelon benin dichrin lo tarfa mi mishabde. The din is that benin dichrin cannot inherit, after the death of their father, nechasim that had been sold to somebody else in order to fill the needs of Benin Dichrin. If it were a gift, then it would be a living gift. So therefore, a living gift, at the time that I give it, you have the right to it, the collection of it. That means that your lien would have come prior to the sale. So why wouldn't you be able to collect it? The only explanation for why you're not able to collect it is that indeed it's being a Yerusha. And then, of course, a guy dies after selling a property. His sons don't get any rights to that property. So that would explain why you don't get any rights. See, he's probably thinking, look at that kid. He didn't have the guts to stand up to me and to say no. And it's really only Artun. So he pretends that it should say Yasbun. Oh, yeah, yeah, I am embarrassed. Oh, well. So, Isa Gadaitach Yasbun Tnan, Amailo Tarfami Meshabde. If indeed I would have been right in telling him that the correct gears of the Mishnah would be to give, then why wouldn't you collect from the Mishabadim? You should, because your lien comes first. Elashmamina Yartun Tnan. Now, says Rabbi Sharshia, do you understand that this includes the entire answer to Rava's issues? I mean, who's the man d'yomar now that we're saying that it's working according to the Lashon Yartuf? Okay, man shabbat le di'it le ha'isvar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. At what point are you writing the ketubah? You're 20 years old. You don't realize you're on your deathbed, but you're 20 years old. So Lamaisa, there's your answer. You ask, can a Bari write Yartun according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? No. Here's the whole discussion. Everybody took for granted. Of course you can write Yartun according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. There's no din of needing to actually be dying in order to give a last will and testament. Don't call it a last will and testament. Just say, I want my children to ultimately inherit me. And that explains Benin Dichrin. Benin Dichrin is a mode of utilizing the power of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, even when you're 20 years old and writing a ketubah at your marriage ceremony. You're 18, but shmanasre lechupa. So vishmamina afilu bari. So obviously, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka was talking about any and all cases, and even though he was analyzing a pasuk that made it sound like we're talking about a man's last desperate moments, it does not mean that. It was just speaking about the norm in which somebody starts worrying about Yerusha. How many people are intelligent enough to talk about Yerusha when they still have the opportunity? Wait a second. Wait a minute. None of this makes sense. The whole conversation between Rebbe and Rabbi and Lassanam Pavli doesn't make any sense. Because the truth is, Bein Laman D'Yomer Yizbon, Bein Laman D'Yomer Yarton. Can you explain to me how this would work? I don't care who you hold like. It's a Dover Shalom Bali Olam. Not that necessarily the property is Lo Bali Olam. The kids are Lo Bali Olam. That's even worse. Because, I mean, over here, you haven't even been married yet. You're writing this ketubah. And you're saying the children that we have in the future, when I die, I mean, you see, you're talking about a lifetime ahead of you. The people don't even exist. And you know, even if you hold of Rebbe Meir that an Adam can be marked at Dover Shalom Bali Olam, that's in terms of the thing, but not where the individual to whom you want to be marked it to doesn't even exist. So Bein Laman D'Yomer Yazbun, whether you say the word gift, which Lechora, according to Nasana Bavli, that it really should say gift, because he apparently holds like the Rabbanan. So then it should be indeed, even Chal, on Nechasim Mishubadim. I guess he would disagree. But fine, be that as it may. Or you hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Ha'in adam makneh davar shelo ba li'olam. And I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to say, yeah, but it's going on libid Rabbi Meir. Not true, because I feel Rabbi Meir, di'omer adam makneh davar shelo ba li'olam, that's only where an item is a lo ba li'olam. So hanimir l'davar sheyesh lo ba'olam. You can give a davar shelo ba'olam to an item that is ba'olam, meaning a human being. But if the item, meaning the human being, it does not exist, you can't give a non-entity something. That even Rabbi Meir never hold of. L'davar sheyesh ba'olam. Did you ever find Rabbi Meir saying that you can give a gift to someone that doesn't exist? That's insane. Of course you can't. So therefore, even Rabbi Meir would be moda lo. In which case, let's be honest, boys, there's no such thing as Benin Dichrin. There is no possible legal mechanism for giving a Benin Dichrin. I don't care if you're going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, you're going like the Rabbanan. The whole thing is basically an artificial construct. Where would be the keach of such an artificial construct? Only from the power of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. There'd be no other way to do such a thing. Since Bezdin has the option of being Mafker, you're Nechosin, so because of that, they can essentially say, we insert in every ketuvah, with our power of Hefker, the fact that you can give Shelo Kedin something, and we will make it Bichal when it needs to Bichal. So then that works, I don't care who you hold like. I mean, that works whether you hold like the Rabbana, that works whether you hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The whole thing is a myth. I mean, you're comparing it to a typical event, legal event. But there is no such real legal event. So what are you going to say? Ella, you're going to have to say, it's all a Tanai Beit Din. That's all that it can be. It exists because of the Tanai Beit Din of the Keach of Beit Din. So that's what you're going to have to say. You're going to have to say, Tanai Beit Din shining. How can I achieve it? As a Tanai Beit Din. Dover Shalom Ba'olam. Fine. So please go in there and ask them to please be quiet. There's a shir in here. I warned them beforehand that if they want to come in, it has to be with quiet. So Tanai Beit Din shining, Achanami Tanai Beit Din shining. So therefore, what do you care who you hold like? You're going to have to say that it's because of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. So if that's the case, you could say that even according to the Rabbanan, that in this case, the Tanai Beit Din said, that even if you use a Lashon of Yerusha, which normally won't work, but who cares? We're pretending anyway, so pretend with the Lashon of Yerusha too. What's the difference? So why did, I mean, what was the need for this response of Rebbe? It should have said Yasbun. What do you care what it says? You could have just told Nosan HaBavli that this is irrelevant at all. Machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So am I missing something? This is what Rav Papa asks Abaye. Amalei, Abaye said, I'm sure you're missing something. The entire discussion between Nosan HaBavli and Rebbe was a question of semantics, that's all. It's not that Nosan HaBavli was seriously questioning, why would you put in a mechanism that would only work Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and would not work Aliba de Rabbanan? Everybody understood that there's no real mechanism. And therefore, what are we talking about? The way you write it, that's what I don't like, Nosan HaBavli was saying. Because even if you want to say it's a Kayach Hefker Bezdin, fine. So you need to prejudice the way we look at it by calling it Yartun. I mean, if there's no such thing as Yartun ever, why in the world phrase the Kayach of Hefker Bezdin Hefker in terms of a Yartun? I'll tell you why, because you're prejudiced. Because you can't think out of the box. And so that your natural response is, well, since I personally hold, as we saw yesterday, Rebbe personally holds the Rebbe Yochanan ben Broka, so you prejudice the whole discussion by phrasing the Tznai Bezdin of Benin Dichrin with the word Yartun. That's what I don't like. You insert a prejudice where it shouldn't be there, because anyway, there's nothing in the mechanism that relates to the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and the Rabbanan, and even where it doesn't relate, you made it relate. That was the taina of Nosan HaBavli. Amalei Mishum Dekam Mafik Lebeloshen Yartun. That was the issue. To which Rebbe was kicking himself, because now that we understand that it's all a semantic issue, now he really had a perfect comeback. A perfect comeback. Because now we reinterpret, with this insight now of Abaye, we reinterpret what Rebbe was saying when he was kicking himself. We first thought he was kicking himself because he figured that Nosan HaBavli would realize that it wasn't really true what he was saying, that it would say Yasbun. Because otherwise, why not be Terev Mimishav? But now we understand that's not the point. The point that Rebbe was saying is, oh my God, we're all agreed, not like we thought before, that according to Nosan HaBavli, there would be an actual Vatana to a Dover Shalom Bali Yalam, and therefore you would be able to take from a Shabbat. Of course there's no such thing, as I just pointed out to you. But now Rebbe should have turned around and say, what, you don't like the way I phrased it? So let me ask you something. If I would have phrased it the way you like, and it would have said Yasbun, what would have been the conclusion of the people that read the Ketubah? That you should be able to take it from Mishubadi, because after all, it's a gift. That's why we wrote Yartun. Ha! This is it, because Lamaisa, there is no way to create a gift that you're going to be terribly mishabli when there is no gift. Why would the Chachamim do that? The whole thing anyway is Bekeach Hefker Bezdin Hefker. So therefore, I needed to write the Yartun to make it clear what the Takana was. The Takana was only to pretend it's an inheritance and not to pretend it's a living gift. Perfect. Oh, am I an idiot? Oh, God, I had a perfect answer. Right? Instead, I told him that. Anyway, so far, so good. But then Abaye says, whoops, wait a minute, now I made the mistake. No, that doesn't work either. Adar Amar Abaye, no. Lav milti, I mean, that's no good. Because there's a bigger problem here. The bigger problem is that what Nosan HaBavli was saying wasn't even true. That was the issue. Nosan HaBavli is saying, and look, the way you wrote it, I mean, the whole thing is prejudiced in favor of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. It is not. It is not, because the Rabbanan in the first Mishnah of the Sugyon, Kuf Chav Vav, remember, said Beferish, as long as you use the Lashon of Matana somewhere in that transaction, you could write as much Yerusha as you darn want to, right? Wait a minute. Let's take a look at the rest of the Ketubah, because the rest of the Ketubah is the rest of the context of the document. Okay, what's the next clause in the Ketubah, which we also don't write ourselves, but which is always there as a default in the prenuptial agreement? Read the next clause in the Mishnah. Okay, the same thing that we were talking about, that Nosan HaBavli was talking to Rebbe about in Ketubot. So what does it say there? The Tanan continues the Mishnah. Lo katavla, if you didn't write the next clause. The next clause refers not to Benin Dichrin, but to the Benan Nukban, the female children that we will have. And there's also an agreement in the prenup here, which stipulates that any female children that we have together will be entitled to support from my estate until such time as they're married. And that they're going to be given actually everything that they need in order to get the marriage and so on. All of that is also included. So suppose you miss that tnai and you don't write it. Lo katavla, as we don't. But na nukbandi heaven lechiminoi, those female children that we have together, yahavun yatvun bebeti v'yitzanan minichsoi, they shall live in my home. And they shall be supported with my estate. Ad tilakchon leguvrin, until they're married by men. Chayav, you'd have to provide that anyway. Because that too is a tnai beit din. Did you note what it says? Does it say anything about a Yerusha there? No, it's giving them a gift. They shall be given money too. Given money as a gift from my estate. Aha. So now you have to one a lashon of Yerusha, to the other a lashon of Matana. And we already proved that as long as it's in the same transaction, Yerusha and Matana together equals Matana. Even according to the Chachamim that argue in Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. So where is my prejudice? Where is my prejudice? So what was let's see it inside. So havila zeb matana vla zeb yerusha, and as we just said before, kol zeb yerusha vla zeb matana afila rabbanan modu. So therefore, Baya now questions his own explanation of the discussion between Nasra Bavli and Rebbe, because there's still a problem. It doesn't really work out. Omar le Rav Nechumi. Either Reb Nechumi addressed the Baya on this, or some say it was Reb Chananya Bar Minyumi La Baya. You're making an assumption here, my friend. Your assumption is that the document of the Ketubah should be read as if it's all one lawyer's office that wrote it. But the fact is that a Ketubah is a document that evolved over centuries. So what gives you the idea that these two Tnaim are in any way related? The fact is that you are recording a document that needs to be looked at separately. Each clause needs to be looked at separately because it evolves separately. And therefore, you can't say that in that context, the language of one Beit Din may be a century apart from another Beit Din, one of which uses a lashon of giving and the other uses a lashon of Yerusha, that one should reflect on the other. I'm sorry. That's not true. And therefore, Natan Abavli's taina on Rebbe was a good taina. You record a takonas bezdin of yartun, and that's a prejudice. You should not have written the word yartun, because there's no indication that it needed to be based on the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broca's approach. And then Rebbe said, but there was, you see. Not because of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broca, but because of the fact that you're not supposed to collect from Yeshuvanim. And I, like an idiot, didn't tell him that. And by the way, you'll notice the beautiful fact that Rebbe does. We often find that after somebody walks out, someone says, "Oi, damn, my time alive, I should have told him this," right? It's just so beautiful that Rebbe attributes his response to Nasan Abavli to childishness. So he says, "That was so childish. I just sort of got overwhelmed and I just threw something at him." So in other words, he recognizes in himself that the problem over here wasn't an intellectual issue. It was a maturity issue. And so here's an old man, but he's still a child like everybody else. So I got overwhelmed. Okay. So therefore, we tell him, "Mimai de bechad beidina itkun." What gives you the idea, Baya, that this all came from one bezdin? I don't understand. Dilma betray beidina itkun. So maybe it was two completely separate takanot, and therefore, certainly we need to discuss each one in context, and one doesn't reflect on the other. Oh no, says Baya, I already thought of that. Lo sakadayga, no way that it could be two separate beidina, but they didn't. Diktani Reisha, because if you take a look over there, in the Reisha, the Mishnah brings out in Ketuvot an amazing thing, that you have a right, at least according to these Shitas, you have a right to be Doresh, the Lashon of the Ketuvah. In other words, it was so profoundly instituted that it's like Divrei Torah. So you're Doresh not only the words, you could even be Doresh a Hekesh from a Ketuvah. So, and Zen Midrash Darash Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Lifnei Chachomim Bekeren VeYavne from the Ketuvah. Two clauses, Hekesh, one next to each other. One says Habanim Yirshu, the other one says Habanot Yizonu. So just like Mahabanim Einan Yorshin Elo Leachar Mitat Avihim, the Lashon of Yerusha means, obviously, one can only be Yorish after the death of the Morish. Av Banot Lo Yizonu Elo Leachar Mitat Avihim. Therefore, the intent must be that in a case where daughters want to sue a father for support, the father refuses to support them. So they use the clause of banan nukban as a way of suing their father. They say, look, You know, our father wrote in the ketubah to our mother that he would support his daughters. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but note that there's a hekesh of the support of his daughters to the Yerusha of his sons. So the support of the daughters can't be more than the Yerusha of the sons, which means it's not to be applied during the lifetime of a Moresh. Therefore, it's irrelevant to try to sue him from the prenup, which was only talking about after his death. Therefore, he is not legally required to give any money to his daughters unless he's dead. Now tell me how in the world you're going to darshan a hekesh from two things that are unrelated and are centuries apart. So obviously, the ketubah is meant to be a single document, says Abaye, and that's why now I have a problem. Because if it's a single document, then what was Natan Abavli arguing about? I'm missing something about the whole interaction between Natan Abavli and Rebbe. So ma, let's see that inside. Mahabarim in Yoshima lachar mitata v'yem av banot lo yizonu ala yachar mitata v'yem. So now look, Rabbi says, this is what I figure. Iyamit b'shleim b'chad b'dina itkun. If you're going to tell me that the tna'ei haktubah all came from the same source, so that would explain. I do the alfina takana mitakana. We can make a heker. Say just like this, so to this. But I mean, what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is doing is incredibly naive if he simply is unaware of the fact that historically he's comparing two issues centuries apart and pretending that it's all one thing. I mean, nobody's that dumb. So obviously, we do know that the Tanai HaKetuvah are a single takana. It's got to be that this is all really one transaction, because otherwise, how could we have compared the two? If you're going to tell me that it was two, but they didn't, so maybe Ein Achinami, maybe one Bezdin was talking about the Benin Dichrin, and that Ein Achinami, it only takes effect after the father dies. The other Bezdin that was talking about Benat Nukpan, they were talking about something that he could have been sued on even while he was alive. If it's two bat dinim, since Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying that, no, that can't be, they're comparable, it must be it was in one bezdin. If it was in one bezdin, then it would work out even according to the Rabbanan, because you're mentioning Matana and Yerusha together. So what in the world did Rebbe feel the need to respond to Rabbi Natan Abavli? What was he asking him? There's absolutely nothing that should have been discussed at all. To which the Gemara answers, not necessarily. Because the truth is, even if it would have been two separate batei dinim, the Omer Yolam Emelach betray beit dina yitkun. There may very well have been two separate batei dinim, but nonetheless, the second beis din, the beit dina batra, takin beveit dina kama, kevei dina kama. The second beis din recognized that this was going to be viewed as one document. So even though if the takana was by different beis din, it would look very strange to give benot nukpan rishos to sue the father while they're alive, and to give a completely different sense to benin dichrin that should be only after death. If the second beis din is trying to make a congruous document that people in later generations will see, so then they certainly wouldn't have made something that was a contradiction to the derech of the tikkun haketuvah that had been in the batei dinim before. They would have gone along and it would be the same thing. If the bezdin before meant benot nukvan was meant to be during the lifetime, so they would have done the same thing for benin dichrin as a gift, a lifetime gift. Therefore, it's still fair for, even if it's two different batei dinim, it's still fair for Rabbi Elazar to be comparing one from the other as the drush of a hekesh, because certainly the whole ksuva would have been put together in an editorially consistent way. But nonetheless, we can still tie it to you that it's not meant to put together the Lashon Yerusha with the Lashon Matana. Those were indeed two separate takonas. And therefore, Rebbe needed to answer. So what Rebbe answered was, well, it wasn't written as a prejudice. It's a mistake in your gears, and it was written as a gift. Whereas Lamaisa, then he kicks himself and said, I had a perfect solution to why it was really written. So let's go over this last piece and just remember how it all started and what happened. So Rav Papa came along and he asked Abaye, he says, I don't understand what exactly the whole conversation was about. Why did Rebbe feel that he was constrained to give an answer about the problem of Yerusha and to turn it into that he would be given it, that he would get it, meaning it's more as a gift, if Lamaisa, neither a gift nor a Yerusha really means anything here, because you don't have any rights to do either, because it's Lidover Shalom Ba'al Yoylam. To which a buyer responded, well, that's not really a problem. It was a semantical issue. And as a matter of fact, because of the fact that it had nothing to do with the whole point, that was the point of contention between Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and the Chachamim, that's precisely the reason why you should have avoided prejudicial terms. And that's what you did. You inserted the word yartun. So at that point, Rebbe actually had a fantastic response that he didn't use, which is why he was so upset with himself at his childish response. Because what he really could have said was that, no, that's the whole point. It was to tell us that there's no taking this with a lien prior to Yerusha. So then Abaye says to himself, but wait a minute. I mean, the truth is, Rav Pop is really right. Why in the world did Rebbe feel constrained to explain things the way he did to Nasan Abavli if, in fact, the way that it's written in the Ksuva includes both Matana and Yerusha, and therefore it would be perfectly good, according to the Chachamim, and it isn't even prejudicial at all. So what the heck was the whole conversation about? To which now, Rav Nechumi or Rav Hananya Bar Minyumi said, now hold on a second, you're assuming that a Ksuva is a unified statement in which the Matana that's used for one clause will affect the nature of the word Yartun that's used in the other clause. What makes you think that a Ksuva is an integrated document? To which Abaye says, ha, because of the very fact that we find the drasha on the Ksuva that actually darshins a hekesh between Benan Nukvan and the Lashon of Yartun, and therefore, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and therefore you couldn't possibly have a Hekesh unless it really is a document that was generated all at one time and is meant to hold together, which all of the Tanaim are interrelated, because otherwise it would be a little bit silly to compare one Bez Din Stakon and to say this is a Hekesh to another Bez Din Stakon, one of which was talking about something which was only Lachar Mita, the other one which would be talking about during a lifetime, so it's clearly all meant to be one thing, right? And therefore, I don't understand. So I'm still left with my problem. It's all left, all meant to be one thing. Then Rebbe should not have felt a need to even address Rav Nosson Ababli's issue. To which now they responded to Abaye, that's not true. Because the fact is that the Hekesh element would have been maintained even if it were two, but they didn't. Because each Bezdin would have certainly not said something that contradicted the previous Bezdin's approach that it was not during a lifetime. So therefore, in that sense, I can definitely be Dorish. However, to view the Ksuva itself as a single document, when it was actually cobbled together, and the word Yartun in one clause has really nothing to do with the word Matana or Latate in another clause, that is still true. And therefore, it would not have worked, I'll leave it to Rabbanan. And therefore, Rebbe did have to explain why it was prejudiced. It seems to be prejudiced, that it's going more in the direction of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, even though, of course, it wouldn't be enough to say it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka because of the Hefker Bez Din Hefker problem. And on that, Rebbe indeed was berating himself because there was a very good reason to use the language, not because of prejudice like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, but rather to teach the very fact that indeed it is not chal before, and there are no liens that would be effective to take it out of Nechasim Mishu'ubad. Person does, yes, I'm glad you asked that. The halacha is that a person can't be legally sued to support his children. However, he can be morally required to support his children. So in other words, what Bezdin will do will assess him as a tzedakah and then give all that tzedakah to his children. Or it will publicly embarrass him. There's a whole nusach to embarrass him. Mr. So-and-so is worse than a wild animal, that every wild animal supports their children, and this idiot can't support his children. The man is obviously a sicko. You put this up on all of the Batei Knesset. And so there's many ways to socially pressure him until he supports his children. However, it's not a legal enforceable act by the court to say that you owe the money, and therefore we'll collect from your fields, and so on and so forth. If the guy isn't there, he's overseas or whatever it is. We don't have the normal mechanisms that we have to collect money that's actually due. We're limited to the Kayach of Tzedakah itself. Omer Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. Getting now to the next sugya. Hakotev kol nechasav leishto. Fascinatingly, we have a number of insights into the gift or Yerusha issue, as the case may be, there are interpretations, which of course is a very contemporary thing, there are interpretations of what the intent is in a last will and testament. So if somebody, for instance, gives every last penny to his wife, leaving his children bereft. We do not believe that that's what he meant to do. We believe that his intent was to make her the boss, not to make her the owner. And therefore, lo asa'a ela apotropa. Unless it's defined otherwise, we understand the intent of such a thing. We'll see later when the Gemara says kabilta below taima. But it's more of the way that Besen recognizes the mechanisms here. This is what we read into what you're saying, that the intent was to make her an apotropos, and this way the children will continue to respect her, as opposed to giving the money to the children, who now can basically spit at the mother or the father's wife, as the case may be. So he wants her to be in charge of the estate, but not actually to own the estate. Now, the other cases that we need to take into consideration over here is pshita b'no hagadol, in a case where all the money was given to an oldest son, stripping all the other children of money. There, too, we understand that what he wanted to do was to make the gadol babai, he wanted to make the most responsible child in the estate, be the one that everybody would have to listen to. It could be he didn't trust the younger kids. So he wanted now one of them to be empowered to make the legal decisions. Okay, so that also, lo aso el apotropos. But what would be the din if he would do that to Beno HaKatan? I mean, that's really weird, isn't it? I mean, if it's Katan, would we say that the idea of the Katan is also that he wants to make the Katan mechubad among the Achim? I mean, why would he want that necessarily? But you never know. Perhaps he's afraid that a youngest child always seems to get left out, and he wanted to make some type of psychological tikkun for the child so that all the brothers would have to respect him. And they couldn't just walk all over him because he would be the one. Well, yeah, it's not that he has more than the other brothers, but that they need to ask his opinion. They can't make without him. So maybe that's what he meant. What would be that then? The point over here is not his current status. The point is the father is worried about what's going to happen to the youngest. And we understand, even if he's a child in a cradle, that the point over here is that worry. And if it's that worry, it's even more likely that he would have that worry if the child is in the cradle. The father dies young, leaving behind a young child. He has very serious concerns about what's going to happen with the boy. And so Mamela, if he made him the sole heir, he doesn't mean literally to make him the sole heir. He means to put him in a position which the other brothers will need him. That's all. But of course, he doesn't truly own it. But none of that matters. We're talking about Zahya B'Yomam Tchilo Ad Banav, or gift him, or Rav Yochanan Ben Broke him. Yeah. Now, Pshita, if you take the two extremes, there's a lot of different ways of learning this. This is the way the Rashbam learns it. Pshita, that if you have the two cases of Beno, let's say on the one hand, and Acher, a complete stranger on the other hand, there's no way to believe that he's going to be giving money to a complete stranger in order to make that one be mechubad on their children. Why would he want to do that? He must, I mean, what can we say? He must really mean what he says. He says, I'm giving this guy a matana. He means to give him a matana. I don't know what's going on in his mind. But certainly, why would he want the family to respect a total stranger? On the other hand, if he gave it to his son, we just said, but no, if it's given to his son, so then that means the son should be the apotropos. I suppose he has, now, in between those extremes, there's other things we need to discuss. Suppose he has an ishto who is arusa. He never took her to the chuppah. Or he has a woman that's an ex. He was megarish her. So do we believe that his intent is that he wants the family to be mechaved, his ex? Very unlikely, all right? So it's much more likely that there's some kind of hanky-panky going on in which he's actually paying her off for something or other. But he certainly is not interested in her being the apotropos on the family. He's having the ishto arusa also. I mean, why would he want them to be mechabit her? He was never even married to her. Again, it might be blackmail. I mean, whatever it is, but he means it to give it as a gift. So we have no choice. That's bimatana. How about this case, Iboilo? How about a bat, Eitzel Habanim? I mean, is it reasonable to say that a man would want the family to give covenant to his daughter? Or is it more reasonable to say he's worried about her and wants her to have money? And what about an Isha Eitzel Achim? We said his wife, when it comes to the sons, you know. So over there, of course, he would want, you know, he'd want to be mechabed his wife. But I mean, his brothers? Would he want his brothers to be mechabed his wife? And what does he care Unless you say, look, I mean, there's an Indian of Ishto Kagufo, and he views her as being his representative, Ale Adamot, you know, this is his place yet on earth, and if his brothers are not going to be Mechaved, his wife, you know, then he's furious. So therefore, he doesn't want to really give the money to his wife, he doesn't want to take away the Yerusha. He wants to, now this, of course, would be either with the Matana, would be our whole Shiloh, or according to the other interpretation, which we were Doche, of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that you can even go to a non-heir. Right? Otherwise, none of it makes sense. So fine, so let's say we're talking about Matana, not to get involved in that issue. So then what does he mean? Does he really mean that he wants to give it away? Or is there some reason for him to desire his wife to be mechubedet b'inei ha'achim, and he's not taking away their money, but he wants them to have to come to his wife for her opinion on how to use the money. So she becomes now the apotropos. And this, again, is a very modern issue, where someone doesn't trust his children, or he's afraid the children will fight, or whatever it is, and gives it to the hand of trustees, which usually ends up being much worse of a fight. And then the entire Yerusha goes to fighting off the trustees in the court and so on. Horrific, horrific, you know. I mean, these end up being the worst possible solutions. But anyway, what does he mean in that case? Now, what about a second wife to his children? So Isha, it's a b'nei haba almahu. I mean, is it his intent to see to it that they will give her respect? Or, I mean, isn't that a given? I mean, the halacha is that there would be a need to be mechaber anyway. Or do we say, it's a whole question whether it's a Ikra, then they have to be Mechaber. I told you that beautiful story of my grandfather that they just found, like some 20-some years ago after my uncle died. So they found in his effects a letter from my grandfather. This is my grandfather's Atzal had three wives, one after the other. So the third wife, he married by meeting her to see, to interview her for a shidduch for his son. So he ended up saying, yeah, I think she's great. I'll keep her for myself. So he ended, and no. Right. So for my father's son. So he ended up marrying her. So they found when the younger son died, and then the Hasharims were taking out all of his stuff, inside one of the Sforim, there's this letter that had been sent by his father, and it writes as follows, that my new wife is coming to Yerushalayim and is going to be staying by you. Even though she's younger than you, you have to know that you have a chiyuv to be mechaber because of Eshet Av and so on. She's mamish the question of the Gemara over here. Is that the point? His intent over here is to teach them that they have to respect her, and or does he really want her to have the money, which is very unlikely also, but I mean the respect issue is also not clear. This is a machlokas, the level of the chiyuv, whether it's a diaraita, that they have to be mechaber her and so on. And therefore, maybe he relies on them that anyway, that they're going to do. He doesn't have to teach that. Or perhaps this is something that people don't realize. A lot of people are not aware of the fact that they have a chiyuv to respect the wife of a father who's not related to them in any way. And you often see that people really sort of walk all over that, call her by her first name. And, yeah, exactly. And that really is us, sir. But people don't know. So maybe that's what he wants to establish. What would be the din over there? Bob. Omer Ravina Mishmeda Rava. So Ravina quotes Rava as saying, look, in all of the above cases, including the case of the Arusa and the Gerusha that you said was all settled. In all of the above cases, the din is lo kanu. It never meant in any of them to actually give it to them. He always meant that there should be a level of covet, except for the Ishto Arusa and the Ishto Gerusha, where I agree with you that over there, certainly, there was no intent to make them mechubadot, and therefore they must have something on him or what. But he really meant it as a gift. Yeah, Rav Avira mishmei to Rava. Rav Avira quotes Rava as saying, on the contrary, bekulu konu. Actually, the all of the cases except for the case of isha etzel achim and isha etzel bnei habal. To the way that he phrased it was, everyone would be kona. And the only case that wouldn't be kona was the case of an isha etzel achin, which I say is really an issue of kavod. He really does want to be mechaber her. And the last case was the isha etzel bnei habal. In those cases, there is an issue of kavod, and therefore they would not be kona. But the given would be that they would be kona. Now, all of this, of course, is just a question of svara. So the only difference between them is the bat etzel habanim, as it turns out, right? Otherwise, they're completely agreed. So the bat etzel habanim is the difference. difference between them. Ravina is giving all of them the din of lo kanu, bekula lo kanu, and that's the one case that we didn't discuss, was the daughter. Does a man want his daughter to be mechubedet? Or, according to Rav Avira, she's kanu, and he does not want her to be mechubedet. He wants her to have the money, and he really means it as giving a daughter instead of his sons. Fine.
That'll bring a cover as well.
Well, I mean, I may bring her hatred, but the intent is not to put her in a position of being in charge.